Ladies need ladies. You know, they need a time. I was laughing. I was talking to Wendy last night when we were talking, and I said, we had them on Friday nights and then Saturday so that the ladies could go with their churches to a hotel and sit, and you get to know each other. You know, you see each other at church, but you really get to know each other when you're up at 3 o'clock in the morning, or half of your group is at the Jack in the Box in the middle of the night. But you learn to, ladies need to laugh, and they need to cry. They need somebody to look at them. I always used to teach my ladies, if you think somebody's okay, look in their eyes. They can have the biggest smile on, and you can just think they are the you know, they've got everything together. Look in their eyes and see if they're hurting. And then reach out to them and be a friend to them and love them. Okay, I want to get started. How many of you know if we stood up right now? Did I say this a while ago? I said about the old rugged cross, right, earlier? Okay. How many of you could stand up right now and you could sing How Great Thou Art? Oh, Lord, my God. Let's sing the first verse.
Oh, Lord, my God, when I am awesome wonder, consider all the worlds thy hands have made. I see the stars. I hear the rolling thunder. Thy power throughout the universe displayed. Then sings my soul, my Savior God to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art.
Could you sing the third verse to me? See what I mean? What do we leave out? Now, most of you that are singers, you probably could sing it. But what's the third verse? And when I think that God, his son not sparing, sent him to die, I scarce can take it in. That on the cross, my burden gladly bearing, he bled and died to take away my sin. Is that not an important verse? I hope I've challenged you now. The other day we were at church, and my husband and I were singing, and we had the songbook, and he said, what are you doing? And I said, no, I was reading the third verse. I wanted to see what the third verse of the song was. And so there's some really neat ones. If there's four verses, read the third one. So now I hope I've opened that up with you that you want to see it. But I got to thinking about, why are the sweet hymns so sweet? And in Psalms 118:14, it says, the Lord is my strength and my song, and it is become my salvation. The Lord is my strength and my song. And I'm just throwing this in at something. Do you know when you go through troubled times and God gives you something? Do you know sometimes he also gives you a song? My son, a year ago, it looked like he had pancreatic cancer. And we had gone to the specialist. We'd gone to the cancer specialist. They showed us pictures of it. Surgery was coming. They were going to take out his pancreas and they were going to take out his spleen. And it was the night before. Well, when my son first got sick and they told us that this was what happening, I asked God. I said, God, I need something. And I'll talk about that in a minute about there are certain times in your life when you need something. You need God to talk to you personally and give you a scripture. And he gave me a scripture to go through it. But he also gave me a song. I'd never heard it. I spent a lot of time, I think since I'm going through the change, I spent a lot of time up at night. And our TV has a gospel station on it. In the middle of the night, I had the music going. And a song came on. And I don't know if any of you know who the Isaacs are, because I guess that's who they are. But the song came on that said, let's make this yours and mine. And I thought, you did that just for me? You gave me that song? And what it was is it's a mother to their child. And their child has cancer. And it's talking and it says about, I wish I could take it away from you. I wish I could take the pain. And it says, but since I can't, let's make this yours and mine. And so I just thanked the Lord and I said, you know, Lord, you did that just for me. Everybody else in the world was asleep. But I was sitting here talking to you and you gave me the right scripture and you gave me the right song. And it did turn out great and my son is doing just fine. And so the night before they canceled the surgery and decided it mimicked cancer. So I told him the miracle was that he didn't have the surgery and have all his parts laying on the floor and then find out that they didn't need to do that. So God is good. I got to thinking about the sweet hymns and the definition. I'm one of those people, you go to the Webster Dictionary. I was teasing the girls earlier because now they go to the phone about everything. You know, if they don't know what a word is, because I'm getting lazy and I do that too. You know, hey Google, what does this word mean? Are you, y'all probably don't do this. But if I'm writing something out, and I don't know why, I used to be a really good speller, but I'm not. I guess it's older or something, I don't know. But anyway, I go to the part that you text, because I don't know exactly how to get to the dictionary and all that. So I go to the part that's text, and then I'll type in the word that I'm wanting to write down, and it'll automatically say it right, and I'll go, oh, that's what I thought too. But I went to the dictionary for this, about a hymn. It says, I got to thinking about sweet hymns and the definition, and the dictionary says, a hymn is a type of song specifically written for a purpose of adoration or prayer. Typically addressed to a deity in honor and praise to God. Now, I don't know whether the phone would have told me that, but Mr. Webster was a Christian. And so you get a lot of things out of there. And so praise to God. Praise to God. You know, we've let the people steal us with our praise to God. There was a time where independent Baptist people used to praise God.
Amen.
And then we've let the new group come in and they're scaring us off. We're even afraid to say amen, you know, or anything. But praise to God. Well, why are the hymns so special? Well, our theme verse says, Ephesians 5:18-19, and be not drunk with wine, wherein is the excess, but be filled with the Spirit. What's the Spirit? The Holy Spirit. Be filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. When thinking about the sweet hymns, I started looking at them in your book. Now, you have the same song book we did, so if you looked at that song book in front, I'm telling y'all opened up a whole new avenue for me over this song. Because how many times do you just, you're just used to picking up the song book, singing the song, putting it down, but you don't really stop and think about it. I didn't even realize that there were scriptures in that song, in the song book, that was showing that, that goes with the song. When thinking about the sweet hymns, I started looking at them and reading all the verses of songs, especially the third verse. What I noticed was the inspiration of God in the song book. If you take that song book and you start looking at the songs, you're getting the word of God. These people that used to write the songs, you know, that it wasn't for money. You know, when I think my favorite song is It Is Well With My Soul. Amen. And the reason being is if a man can lose everything and he can go out on an ocean and he can tell the captain, tell me where my children are at the bottom of the ocean. And he looks over the side and he writes, It Is Well With My Soul. That's something from God. That's by inspiration of God to write that song. And so that's my favorite song. But I started thinking about how the scriptures match the hymns. And that's what makes them sweet. It's because the thread of the Lord Jesus Christ goes through those songs. Now, I can't tell you that with the new songs. You know, number one, some of the things people come up with now is just Jesus, 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 but Jesus, 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 Jesus. And it's the same thing. It's three words and it's a whole song. But if you look at these sweet hymns that you've got in front of you in those books, some of the things it says, I couldn't help but believe that most of the people who wrote the hymns had hid God's word in their hearts. And that's what came out in the songs. It couldn't help but come out because they had hid it in their hearts. Let me give you some examples of how the scriptures and the hymns go together. Victory in Jesus, and you can write this down or you can just research it yourself. Victory in Jesus, read 1 Corinthians 15, 57, and 58, and it'll talk about victory in Jesus. The Haven of Rest, that good old psalm, the Haven of Rest, that's Psalms 107, 28 and 30, through 30. When I see the blood, 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 I will pass over you. What is that? That's Exodus 12, 13. He said, when I see the blood, I'll pass over you. When my children were not saints of God and grew up wonderful and great, and I talked to the teenagers earlier about that we had a different life for about 10 years. And our kids had some of the brunts of the scars of a different life of not serving the Lord. And so a couple of them went astray for a while. Well, what I claimed was 2 Timothy 1:12. It's a song. Well, I know whom I am believeth. I'm not a singer, but I can't use her voice. I know whom I am believeth and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I committed unto him against that day. What is it? That's 2 Timothy 1:12. That's what makes these sweet hymns. What about they that wait upon the Lord? This was our Christian school thing. Shall renew their strength. They shall mount up as wings as eagles. What is that? It's Isaiah 40, verse 31. What about what a day that will be when my Jesus I shall see and I look upon his face, the one who saved me by his grace. When he takes me by the hand and he is through the promised land, what a day, glorious day that will be. Revelations 1, 13 through 15. This one's a little bit tougher. One of the first things Mrs. Buchanan said to me is, God leads us along. Some through the waters, some through the floods, some through the fire, but all through the blood. Some through great sorrows, but God gives a song in the night seasons and all the day long. That is Isaiah 43:2. We teach our children songs in the nurseries. Now, maybe the light's not coming on to y'all that like it did to me. I thought, oh my gosh, I never thought about that way. All right, we teach, Jesus loves me. Now, I do this with my grandchildren. Jesus loves me, this I know, for my Grammy tells me so. And so the first time we were in children's church, they were singing it like it's supposed to be. They said, that's not how that song goes. But what is that? John 3:16. The Lord told Noah to build him an arky, arky. Lord told Noah to build him an arky, arky. Build it out of gopher, barky, barky, children of the Lord. What is that? Genesis 6. Because I went flipping and I thought, I gotta see that really says that. And it says it. So what makes the sweet hymn so sweet is the word of God. And what comes through them. So the next time you're singing those songs, just say, oh, okay, verse 1, 2, 3, stand up, everybody sing, okay. And you're saying, is this song leader ever going to let us sit down? Because our song leader, she always has to stand up. And so, you know, you're thinking, okay, hurry up, I got to get this done. No, stop and think about it. What are you singing about? What situation you're in? My goodness, the scripture songs. I wish I had learned more of those. I don't know if y'all in your churches that you've learned a lot of the scripture songs, but that is the word of God that you're singing in those songs. That's what makes for sweet hymns. This is the day, this is the day that the Lord hath made,
that the Lord has made.
I will rejoice,
I will rejoice
and be glad in it,
and be glad.
This is the day that the Lord has made. That's Psalms 118, verse 24. Dr. Hiles used to preach. I miss Dr. Hiles. And he used to preach. And one of the things he would do is he would be preaching. And all of a sudden, he would just be preaching this wonderful message. And then he'd stop and he'd go, "In all thy ways, acknowledge him, acknowledge him, acknowledge him. In all thy ways, acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy path." And then he'd just keep doing it all through his sermon. And then, but you know what that is? It's the word of God. It's Psalms 118. It's Proverbs 3:6. I should know that, my last verse. Proverbs 3:5-6. And we've talked about the scripture saying, I believe the common ground of the sweet hymn, as everything else is the word of God. Colossians 3:16 says, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. So don't just let a song be, the old rugged cross. No, picture the old rugged cross. I'm telling you, if you've ever gone to Israel and you're sitting there and they have these little bleachers and you're looking at that skull, that puts a new meaning to you about that old rugged cross. Let the songs start meaning things to you. Read the words that we don't realize that verse 3 is saying. Many years ago, I went to a ladies' meeting. I told you I was raised a Catholic and that I'd never even seen a Bible. And I went into the preacher's office and I wanted to get married and I said whatever he wanted me to say. Well, I did get saved February 4th, 1980, 7:30 in the morning in my preacher's house. I knocked on his door and I said, Brother Heath, it was his day off. Now that I'm married to a preacher, I appreciate that more that I did that. But I went and knocked on his door and he came to the door and he opened the door and I said, Brother Heath, I'm lost and I need to get saved. And so he said, well, come on in here. And we knelt down right in his foyer. And I think his poodle is going to go with me, too, to heaven, because the whole time he was licking my hand. And so I think he got saved, too. But anyway, I went to a ladies' meeting after my husband surrendered to be a preacher. I thought, I don't even know how to be a Baptist. And now I'm going to be a preacher's wife? I don't know what to do. Well, a little old lady, a wonderful, wonderful lady. I don't know if you've ever heard of Pot of Gold Youth Ranch in San Antonio. The Bonhams had that. And, boy, I was like a sponge in the back of that room. In fact, when we had to introduce ourselves, I stood up and I said, I'm Elizabeth Ogden, and my husband's going to go start a church at Wills Point, and I don't know what to do. Would one of you please adopt me? Somebody tell me how to be a preacher's wife. Well, Mrs. Bonham was speaking, and she always wore a hat. I used to wear a hat for years until I got in the change, and it's too hot for me. But this is what she did. She stood there, and she was speaking to us, and she said, read the book. Read the book. She had that old, worn-out Bible, and that's what she kept saying. Read the book. Read the book. Three chapters a day and five on Sunday. Read the book and leave the politicking to the men. Well, I got so tickled because I thought, what would she do in this day and time? You know, with Hillary out there, what would Miss Bonham have done? But she said, read the book. Now, I did not read the Bible the way she did, the three. I do what our church does, where you know, these things, if your church, does your church do that where you read through the Bible in a year? And you get the thing. This is accountability to me because I think, oh, my gosh, I missed yesterday. I've got to get that and get it checked out. And so after she said that to me, I started reading the Word of God and making it a personal thing to me. So I've never forgotten Mrs. Bonham saying that. But if I was going to say something to you, I would say, read the book. Read the book. Not as a group with everybody. Individually, you need to get alone with God and you need to talk to him. That meant so much to me, is read the King James Bible. Read this Bible and make it personable to you. I like to think reading God's word is priceless, but even more, I claim it personally. Personally. I want to tell you a couple of things about this personal book. God has been so good to our family, it's unbelievable. I told you, right this now, anybody that has children knows this. Right this minute, right this hour, my children are all serving the Lord. And I thank God for that. But it wasn't always that way. And there were times that I needed God to give me something. Ladies, every one of you in this room, there is a time when you are going to feel like the whole world is gone. And you're going to need it personally. You're going to need God to say, you know what? I got my arms around you tonight. I'm going to help you through this night. And this is what I want you to do. I wanted to show you just for a minute how personal this is. God gave me, I asked, you know, you have not because you ask not. If you are alone, you and God, and you're talking, and you need to say, Lord, I can't understand this, that the whole world is out there and everybody has problems and everybody's going through things, but I can sit there and I can say, God, this is happening in my life. And I need you. And he's just, it's like the only person in the world he's focusing on is me. And I want to tell you about a couple of times that that's the way it was. When my husband and I worked with the youth, and you can write this down if you want to, or you can just, you can see me later, whatever you want to do. Just some different times where I, did you ever, if any of you are youth workers out here, did you ever think you were working with youth and it was just going, and they weren't listening to a thing you were saying? They just don't get it. But yet Isaiah 55:11 says they do get it. Now it doesn't say when, but it says my word's not going to return void. So I claim that scripture for that. When my husband and I went in the ministry, I claimed Romans 8:28. Ladies, pastor's wife, please, please, please listen to me. Don't quit. I'm seeing pastor's wife all over the country that say, I don't want to do this. I don't want to, because you're going to have to give yourself if you're going to be a pastor's wife. You're going to give yourself to people. You know what? Just like this today, the preacher's wife, and she's got better things to do, but she's so excited, and she's here. There's a lot of pastor's wives that aren't here anymore. They don't want to be involved with their church. I had one call me this week and say, oh my gosh, I never appreciated what kind of a pastor's wife you were until she's someplace else and the pastor's wife doesn't want any part of the ministry. Be a part of it, and thank God, there's exciting things happen when you're in the ministry. So Romans 8:28. When our sons got off track, I told you that. 2 Timothy 1:12. I know who I am, believe it, and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I've committed unto him. What the problem is we don't commit it unto him. We're like children. We bring our toys and we tell him, we say, now, Lord, I had this little list last night that I went over, and I think if you'll do this, this will work out. My son will, you know, get his act together. No, the Lord says, you just come and you just hand him to me. And you say, Lord, now it's not always good, because you've got to trust him. And there came a time with one of my sons that I said, God's going to take him home. You know, God only puts up with you so long. He only puts up with us so long. There's grace and there's mercy. But be not deceived. God is not mocked. What you sow, you're going to reap. And so I knew in my heart, I thought, God is going to take my son home. My son had walked out on his family, a wife and 3 children. And it was a devastating year. But there is the word of God for anything you go through. And I just kept praying and praying, and his family, sweet family, kept praying and got his act together, and he's doing wonderful and fabulous, and he's on staff full-time serving the Lord, and his wife is full-time, and God is so good. But I didn't always think it was going to be that way. So I said, Lord, whatever happens, you're in control. My mother-in-law, February 4th, 20 years ago. Anyway, we took her to the doctor. The doctor came out and told my husband, he said, Brother Ogdy, your mother has got small cell carcinoma and she's got 6 weeks to live. Wow. And do you want me to tell her or you want to go tell her? You know what? When you're not used to something like that, that's just a stunner. You know, you're thinking, I remember going up and down the hall going, Lord, 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 I don't know what to do. I know that I'm going to take this woman, I'm going to love her, I'm going to help her do everything she can, but I don't know how to take care of a dying person. I've never had to take care of a dying person. I don't know what to do. Lord, show me what to do. I looked up and I was in front of a hospice building. I'd never heard of hospice before in my life. God led me in the right direction. But I kept saying, Lord, I want to still be on my feet in December serving you and praising your name and showing people that you can get through anything. And the scripture that he gave me, it just came to me, was Proverbs 24:10. If thou faint in the day of adversity, thy strength is small. I'm running down the hall thinking, what am I going to do with this person dying? How am I going to take care of my mother-in-law? What am I going to do, Lord? What do you want me to do? And the Lord said, if thou faint in the day of adversity, thy strength is small. And I stopped and I thought, whoa, wait a minute. I have lots and lots and lots of strength. It's not me. It's the Lord Jesus Christ. So if I fall, then nobody's going to think that I actually have somebody as strong as the Lord Jesus Christ. So I kept saying, Lord, let me be on my feet in December, still serving you and still hanging on and be the testimony that you need to be to people in whatever your situation is. My mother-in-law died, and 2 weeks later, I took my mother to the doctor, and my husband and I are sitting there, and the doctor walks out. They live in two separate towns. The doctor walks out, and he says, Barbara, and my mother was a nurse, a realist, and he said, Barbara, you have small cell carcinoma, and you have 6 weeks to live. I was sitting there, and I thought, you know, sometimes things happen to you, and they take your breath away. And I was sitting there, and I thought, somebody wake me up, because I'm in the middle of a nightmare. And this doesn't happen. Two people, same time, 2 months apart, and have the same. My husband and I swear we killed them because we took them on vacation the year before. So we think that they drank the water or something. We didn't know what it was. But God gave me the whole year. You know, have you ever been to a spot where it's hard to pray? And I remember having to go to a ladies' meeting after my mother died, and I sat out in the parking lot, and I said, God, don't make me go. I don't want to go. Somebody take this big shotgun, and they just blew this hole in my stomach, and I'm hurting, and I want to go to bed, and I want to pull the covers up. Don't make me go around people. And he said, what did I tell you to do before? You take that one foot, and you put the other foot in front, and you put the other in the foot front, and I got you. I got you. I'm going to hold on. And what's your scripture? If you faint in the day of adversity, your strength's small. I knew my strength of the Lord Jesus Christ was not small. When our middle son wanted to go off to Texas A&M, I thought, we're not rich people. How can my son ever go to Texas A&M? But the scripture gives you heart's desire. His verse was Psalms 21, 2. I tell the teenage girls, he went to Texas A&M, and I said, now, if you're going to serve the Lord, you've got to be willing to have your life change from whatever plans you thought you had. His senior year, he called us right outside the door, and he said, Daddy, and he was crying. And my husband said, Jeremy, have you had an accident? He said, no, Daddy, I can't go into school. And he said, Jeremy, what's happening? You know, did you get kicked out or something? What do you can't go in? He said, Daddy, God's called me to preach. He said, I got to go to another school. I got to go to Bible college. And so, but he got his heart's desire, but he really got his heart's desire. He just had to realize what his heart's desire was. It was to do what God wanted him to do. When our youngest son, Sean, went off the Marine Corps, he called me. He was out here at Cherry Point, and 9/11, he called me that morning, and he said, Mother, get your TV on. Can y'all hear me okay? I usually have a loud enough mouth. He said, Mama, get your TV on. And he said, tell me what's happening. He said, something crazy is going on at this base. Everything's locked down, and something horrible has happened. And I said, Sean, I'm looking at these buildings, and a plane has just gone through a building. While I was talking to Sean, the other plane went through. And I said, Sean, another plane has gone through. And he said, Mother, we're at war. He said, I'll get back in touch with you and Daddy whenever I can. And he hung up the phone. Well, my son was going to Iraq. And so I talked to the Lord, and I said, Lord, I need you to do me a favor. I said, I need something to chew on while my son's gone to Iraq. Give me something. Show me something in your word to help me get through. He gave me Psalms 37. Ladies, I'm not making this up. When you ask God to give you something, he will give you something personally to get you through. He gave me Psalms 37, and I kept reading all those verses, and I thought, I mean, it even says that Saddam Hussein is going to be killed. It says the enemy will, you know, that they'll be killed or whatever. I mean, he gave me every verse there. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. And so I told Sean when he went to Iraq, I said, son, I love you. And every single morning at 7 a.m., I will be reading Psalms 37. And I said, and every single night at 7 o'clock, I'll be reading Psalms 37, and I'll be praying for you. And so, but he gave me something personal. Our oldest son, I told you about Shane getting sick. Well, God gave me the song, Let's Make This Yours and Mine. And he gave me the scripture that says 11, I sound like Trump now. 2 Corinthians. On 2 Corinthians. Trump reads the Bible all the time. He reads 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians, chapter 12, verse 9 and 10. And what is that about? When you're weak, you're made strong. You know, I didn't say, now, God, we've served you and we live for you, so I don't know why you would let my son get sick. Why not? Why not? I would rather it be somebody that knew the Lord and could walk with the Lord and get through it. And I'd rather my son, I even said this, I'd rather it be my son that's serving the Lord 100% of the time than the one that was out in the world at one time. Amen. So God gives you special things. Okay, I'm hurrying up. I don't know what time, what time did you tell me? Okay. There have been many more times, but I wanted to give you an example. My prayer is that you will look at the scriptures up and you will see how his word becomes personal just to you. You say, you know what? I need to buy a new car. Ask the Lord. Ask the Lord. Let him show you what's right and what to do. You see, we should read God's word. It is powerful. God's word is powerful. It is the strength in the time of need. It gets you through. It is for grace. You ever mess up? Boy, I do. When I get up in the morning, you know, when you mess up, it's grace and mercy. God's word is it's powerful. It's strength in time of need. It's grace, it's mercy. It's promises, it's forgiveness. It's forgiveness. And it will someday lead you home to heaven. If you know the Lord Jesus Christ is your Savior. There's only one way to get to heaven. And that's through the Lord Jesus Christ. And like I told you, February 4th, 1980, I knocked on Brother Heath's door and I said, Brother Heath, I need to get saved. I'd been up all night long. This is just how, you know, I didn't know a lot of things. And I'd been up all night long because I thought, I'm going to die and go to hell. I can't go to bed because I'll go to hell. And so I just kind of walked the floor all night long and went and knocked on his door and said, I need to get saved. Well, you know, I could have done that at home, but, you know, I did it that way. And I realized I didn't know what anything meant. I just knew that I needed to be saved. And I knew I wanted to go to heaven. I didn't want to go to hell. I only knew that I was on my way to hell and I needed to be saved. In my pastor's home, I knelt and I got saved. I realized that I was a sinner. Let me kind of throw this real fast at you, especially dealing with a Catholic, but we're dealing with most people. One of the things about me being a Catholic is I couldn't get what everybody was wanting me to get saved from. Because as a Catholic, I had been raised, you're supposed to be a good girl, you're supposed to do this. I got apparently baptized when I was 3 days old. And then I had communion at 6 years old, and then I had confirmation at 12 years old. I was almost there. And so but that's what I had done. But when somebody pointed out to me that Adam sinned and his sins were passed down, so we were born a sinner. I don't care what you do. You're born a sinner. And I needed to be saved. Well, then the light bulb came on. You know, I kept waiting for, I had to go rob a bank first, or I had to go shoot somebody, or I had to do something terrible before I could get saved. No, I was born a sinner. And you were born a sinner. And Jesus died on the cross for you. He loved you. Did you know if I was the only person in the world, he would have died for me? And if you're the only person in the world, he'd die for you. That he would have died for you. How do I know this? The Bible told me so. The Bible told me that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. The scriptures came alive and personal to me. And I knew that someday I'm going to be in heaven with Jesus. My life's verse is Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Ladies, you can believe it. You can lean on it. You can trust it. You can share it. You can hold on to it. You can understand it. You know that's my scripture that says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy path. That became so real to me because, you know, I didn't understand why my mother-in-law got cancer, and then my mother got cancer. I didn't understand that. I don't understand how good people die. That bad things happen to missionaries overseas. I don't understand everything. But that scripture tells me you're not going to understand it. Just trust me. Just keep trusting me. And so Mrs. Bonham told me over 30 years ago, read the book. Read the book. And I tell you, read the book and make it personal. Try it. Ask God to give you a verse just for you. Whatever situation you're in, I promise you that getting into God's word, you're going to have a new sweet hymn, a total sweet hymn. When you learn about God's word, what happens is then you hear the songs and you're like, I know what verse that is. I know where that came from. Get you a new sweet song. Many of you don't know who this is, but you older ones know who Lester Roloff was. And Lester Roloff used to sing a song, and I don't know how it goes, and so I'm just going to say it to you. Would you be a victor, O very foe? Conquer every trial in this world below. Overcome temptations that each day you meet. Keep in touch with Jesus. He will keep you sweet. Keep in touch with Jesus, though the path be dim. Let no cloud nor shadows sever you from him. Let nothing separate you. Joy or sorrow greet you. Friend or foe you meet. Keep in touch with Jesus. He will keep you sweet. Many hearts are broken. Often aching breast. Waits the message spoken that will give you rest. You perhaps can bring them joy and peace complete. Keep in touch with Jesus. He will keep you sweet. Would you be a blessing all along the way? Would you be possessing perfect love each day? Let the Holy Spirit overcome defeat. Keep in touch with Jesus. He will keep you sweet. Would you have communion with your Lord each day? Have a blessed union with him all the way. Praying without ceasing, learning at his feet. Keep in touch with Jesus. He will give you sweet. He will keep you sweet. Ladies, we want a sweet hymn. The way to get it, the Word of God. Read the Word of God. I challenge you to look at the third verse to start reading the hymns. But ladies, you know what? Is there anybody in this room would like to know about the Lord Jesus Christ?
Yes, Pam. Please tell me more about Jesus.
Pam, come up here. Pam. Still looking for that sweet hymn? Maybe you don't know. Maybe what we've said today doesn't make a bit of sense to you and you don't understand it. Do you know? In this world today, I don't know how anybody could not trust the Lord as their Savior, because I'm not trusting in Trump or Hillary. I'm not trusting in the government. I'm not trusting in going to church. I went to church, ladies. I could be on my way to hell for going to church. That's not going to get you there. Before my mother died, and I told her that, she said, I need you to be strong and let me go. And I said, Mother, I will only let you know, go if I know that I'm going to see you again. And I led my mother to the Lord. Don't walk out of this room. I beg you, don't walk out of this room and not know the Lord Jesus Christ is your Savior. All you got to do is just step out of that pew and you come forward. And Mrs. Ennis has got ladies that will show you how to be saved. Teenagers, I'm not kidding. Get off the merry-go-round. If you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ is your Savior, come down here and let one of these ladies show you how to be saved. Is there anybody in this room needs to be saved? They'll move. The people will move and let you out. What about, is there anybody that you've just gotten away from the Lord and you just want to come? Maybe you just want to come pray. You just want to come pray about anything. Let's stand up, ladies. You know, this seminar is about coming and having fun and being a part and learning things. But you really want this seminar to be a blessing to Mrs. Ennis, then you come get saved. Come get saved. That's more than any decorations to this lady. That's more than the food, the speakers, the anything, is that just one of you comes and you get saved. So we're going to sing an invitation, and whatever your situation is, whatever situation you're in, if you need to pray about something, please come and leave it at the altar. You need somebody to pray with you, raise your hand. I'll come pray with you. These ladies will come pray with you. Your preacher's wife that's with you. Somebody will come pray with you. It's up to you now. Everything's been done. Now it's personal. What are you going to do? Is there a verse that we're going to sing? Is there a song that we're going to sing for an invitation? Okay. Just as I am. You go ahead. You're the one with the voice. Ladies, don't walk out of here just saying, oh, I had a good time and I got to do this, got to do this. What did you do personally? Come talk to the Lord.
So much. You're so precious and wonderful. There's just not enough words, Lord, that we can describe how great you are and how much we love you. We thank you for what you've done today amongst all of us ladies. We pray that you'll please give us strength to go out and to fight Satan. And Lord, just lean on you. We ask your guidance. We love you, Father. In Jesus' name, amen.